And welcome to a fresh installment of Mercenary Musings Radio, an exclusive audio service presenting views and insight from the mercenary geologist, Mickey Fulp. Good golly, Mickey, we're talking moly this time, and from an investing point of view, you don't like it. Why not?
Moly is absolutely the most fickle metal on the planet. As an example, in October of 2008, moly was selling for $33 a pound. Within 3 weeks, it was down to $11 a pound, and it went to $8 a pound. It is very much controlled by supply-demand fundamentals, surpluses, and deficits, and that all depends on the health of the world steel industry.
Mm-hmm. You mentioned that really an opinion on moly is a good reflection of your opinion on the overall state of the global economy, I guess. And of course, you mentioned supply-demand fundamentals. Walk us through those supply-demand fundamentals right now as they sit on the global stage right now. Is this a market that has too much for the demand that's out there?
Well, right now, moly is in a bit of a deficit, which right now it's selling at about $17 a pound. And people are basically saying there will be a deficit for the next few years. So there is a general bullishness on moly prices, but that is very much dependent on the economic health of the world. And as you're well aware, that's in question right now. Mm-hmm. As the steel industry goes, so goes the moly industry. Moly is used almost exclusively for alloyed steels, high-strength tool steels. It adds strength and hardness, and it is a refractory metal, meaning it is able to withstand high temperatures. So it's used in various applications in the steel business.
Well, a lot of it, I believe, is also gobbled up by the pipeline industry. That's a major consumer of it, isn't it?
Well, it certainly is, and that's because pipelines require hard steel that's durable and heat resistant, and so there are a variety of uses for moly, but suffice it to say that the steel industry is about 90% of the total market.
Okay, now you mentioned that there's a deficit of moly right now on the world stage. It likely will continue that way maybe for another year, 2 years. I've also read, Mickey, that China has now become a net importer of moly. That sounds like a market that's bullish to me, and you're saying to investors, don't get into it. Why not?
Well, I think we need to probably step back. Do you want to invest in moly as a metal? I think what I'm really getting at is we are, as junior resource market players, we are looking for companies that have projects in specific commodities. I would not choose a junior resource company that has a moly project, and there's very good reasons for that. As you're probably well aware, in one of my musings, it's called Juniors, Metals, and Projects, Good, the Bad, and the Ugly. The most ugly metal on the planet for me for a junior is moly. Moly is produced, 60% of the world's moly is a byproduct of porphyry copper deposits. And there are a few large primary mines that supply somewhere around maybe 25% of the market. A significant amount of the market, which is not really real obvious, but according to USGS, is the recycling of scrap steel. So you add all that in, and the big porphyry copper producers pretty much control the moly market.
Okay, so this is not a market that sees the wealth spread across all sizes. I mean, there's a handful of big boys that control it, and that, of course, makes it that much tougher for a junior player to get in there and crack it.
Well, that's true, and there are presently there are the four largest undeveloped deposits, the best deposits, the highest grade deposits, that are either undeveloped or previously mined are in the U.S., and that would include things like Climax, Colorado, which is arguably the world's second best moly mine. Mm-hmm. It has development on hold. We have Mount Emmons in Colorado, which will probably be never developed, but because of environmental issues or environmental opposition, let me say that. Then we also have deposits like Mount Hope in Nevada, controlled by General Molly, the Hall deposit, Hall Tonopah deposit in Nevada. Mm-hmm. And these are high-grade Molly deposits that are sitting on the shelf right now. So what you find is most juniors are going for lower-grade second-tier deposits, mm-hmm. and in my mind, those things are not good investments, and they are doomed to failure.
Okay, now refresh me on the price. You said Molly right now is what, sitting at just north of $17 U.S. a pound?
That's correct.
Okay, what is your outlook for the price? Do you see it weakening further because of all the pressures that the global economy may be under right now, or do you see it kind of trading in a choppy range?
I have no idea, Robin. Mm. That's the point here. Mm. Moly is the most fickle metal on the planet. The price, if you look at the history of moly prices, they fluctuate wildly. Mm-hmm. And moly mines come into production and out of production, and the big porphyry coppers, they'll just turn off the moly switch for a while. They'll turn off the moly concentrator and not produce moly for a while and stockpile moly. So any company that's entering in this space is a pawn to someone else who's bigger and is already in the space.
Okay, it sounds
so
to me
juniors,
like...
juniors, the 0.0x% Molly juniors that are... There's a bunch of them in B.C. that have failed and will continue to fail. There's some in the U.S. and China and Mongolia. They don't have a prayer, in my opinion, in this segment, with one exception, and that would be the Kitsault mine near Prince Rupert, B.C., and maybe that has a chance. But that one is still about the fourth or fifth best moly project on the books, and they are dependent that Mount Hope won't get in production mm-hmm. before they do, and that Climax won't happen before they do.
Okay, so you're basically saying that when you're looking at the metals market, the moly is probably one of the toughest ones out there for a junior to get its foot and to get some traction in. Is that correct?
That's my opinion, Rob, mm-hmm. and I'm sticking to it.
You're sticking to it. Okay, well, let's wrap it up on that note, Mickey. Next time out, you want to take a look at another one of your, I don't know if we should call it this, your so-called ugly commodities. Is that a fair comment?
Well, that's true, and I'm going to throw you a little curveball. You know, the first 6 or 7 or 8 shows that we've done here, we covered elements, metals that I like, and now mm-hmm. we're getting probably going to do a series of... radio shows here of metals that I don't like. I think next time we're going to talk about niobium, which is one of these specialty metals. I know I told you earlier we were going to talk about lithium, but I had a little job in the last couple of weeks to study the niobium market, so we'll talk about that and why I think that juniors should not tread in that space either.
Okay, well, it sounds like a market that a lot of listeners are maybe scratching their heads right now and going, what? So you know what, this is a good segment. I'm sure that it will enlighten a lot of listeners. Thanks very much for this, Mickey.
Well, it's good to talk to you once again, Rob, and I look forward to our next radio show.
Okay, we will connect in a couple of weeks from now. That is Mickey Fulp, the mercenary geologist. You can find him on the web at mercenarygeologist.com. I'm Robert Graham at Mercenary Musings Radio. Thanks for listening.